Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio 1220 AM, as well as WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can re-listen to this show later this week by going to ShofarMinistries.net. And take some notes, because every program has good insights or insights that you will want to remember just for your own knowledge and for your faith, to increase your faith. And God does desire that we pursue His Word with diligence so we can finish the race that is set before us. And you can only do that through time spent with Him in the Holy Scriptures. Let's open in prayer. Abba, thank you again for the opportunity to learn from your word and to be able to do this broadcast. Thank you for answered prayer. Sometimes we mention prayer and we pray for someone and we don't look and see what happened after we prayed. And I checked on that and I found a prayer that you had answered that just blew me away. And God, you do that all the time. And we want to lift up all those who are hurting, sick, or going through trials. And they have asked us to pray for them or sent us a mail asking us. And Abba, answer according to your grace in Yeshua. We lift up the persecuted church, especially this Iranian pastor we've heard about who has been jailed and is facing the death penalty for converting to Christianity from Islam. And we want to thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shalom Haver to you, and Shalom Haverim to all our listeners as well. We will continue this week on our topic of how does Purim affect the Christian? And we will look at some real gold nuggets today in the Book of Esther, which is our backdrop for the mighty rescue, once again, of the Jewish people, without which Jesus would not have been born as a man. And then we would not be here as Christians today.
Wow, I'm so excited to get into that. But first, what's happening in the news, Sheila, today, especially in Bible prophecy?
I read the news today, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Okay. Not a lot of good things as usual. But the Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars, and we talk about that a lot, and it's certainly continuing. Especially still in Syria. It's been almost a year now with close to 7,000 people just slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
That's a civil war against its government. And Iran is still the biggest rumor of all. Syria and Iran are partners, and Assad of Syria will do anything to stay in power. Many are still wondering about Israel doing something to stop Iran on their own.
Yeah, that's a lot of rumors about that. And last week you said probably not, except on a small scale or a covert operation, and they've been doing that.
Well, they have no allies right now, really, and I know what our president says, but behind closed doors it's pretty obvious.
That we're not such a great ally right now, are we?
No, and everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
But then everyone is also afraid that it would probably start World War III. Besides, Iran will need their nuclear pride to fulfill the Magog War of Ezekiel 38 and 39. They're going to be coming along there pretty strongly with Russia. So I don't think they're going to be, too annihilated anyway.
They still have to be around for Ezekiel 38-39, team up with Russia, that alliance, in that war of Gog and Magog.
That's right, and they're already allies right now for the first time in history.
Yes.
So, something else that we haven't talked a lot about, and that is that, well, we realize when we look at the map of Iran, and we say, well, that used to be Persia.
Right.
But it was actually Persia and Elam.
So, two countries.
They were combined.
Combined.
Now, Elam is located in the western area, kind of in the south, not all the way to the bottom, but kind of in the south. And Ezekiel 38 only talks about Persia coming against Israel and doesn't talk about Elam.
Okay. And that was written When it was Persia and Elam.
Correct, because just a few chapters prior, Ezekiel happens to mention Elam.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So perhaps something could happen today to the area of Elam, like maybe could be attacked or... What's interesting is that, do you know what stands in Elam today?
I think it's where the nuclear plant...
Right, John. It's the Busher plant.
Okay.
I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but Busher. It's the one that Russia really helped finance and help them get that up and going. And it's just started, by the way. I don't think it's been going more than a month or so, but...
What's the significance of this?
Well, it's just the same area that the Book of Esther takes place.
That's interesting.
You know, and if Ezekiel talks about Persia, maybe it's not including Elam. Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Just something for you all to think about. And that's really all this ministry is for. It's just to stir you up to do your own homework, to come to your own conclusions.
That's right.
I don't expect anyone to believe anything I say, but I do want you to look for yourself.
Be a Berean.
Search
the scriptures for what we tell you and check it out. News sources. So, Sheila, if something did happen to that nuclear plant, it would not only really make Iran go ballistic, but Russia would be fuming as well.
Yes. And Putin is supposed to get voted back in as president next month, which, by the way, that's 2 6-year terms, so he could be president again for 12 years.
Wow.
And I think that there's going to be a lot of significant changes when he does. And I'm sure he will, even if he has to fix it. But I do want to mention that next Friday at Chester Christian Church in Chesterland, I'll have some pictures of maps to go along with what I'm saying. So why don't y'all just come on out and see us for some real meat of God's Word.
Have some meat for a
great
change.
Great worship by our co-host, John.
And we'll have a special guest, Melanie, with us too. And that's March 2nd, right?
That's it.
It's first Friday in March, 7 p.m., Chester Christian Center. We'll talk about that more. Sheila, why do you think America is not mentioned, at least on the surface, in Scripture?
In the Bible,
nobody can really find a specific reference to America.
Basically, because we weren't here in the Old Testament, and I don't think we're going to be here for the end of the New Testament, and certainly not during the tribulation, only because we have some scriptures. Before I give you that scripture, I do want to mention, too, that America is declining, as you know, in all areas, spiritually, economically, and a target for Iran, who has just stated that they will be ready to hit the USA within the next few years. And I'm thinking they might just try to do that, because I don't think we're around during the tribulation, at least not for...
You mean our country or
our country.
Okay. Well, why?
Well, first of all, it's in fulfillment of Jeremiah, and we don't have time to turn there because we've got so much to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
But in Jeremiah, look it up later, in I think it is
3011. Yes. Check that out. And there's more. It's confirmed again in 46:28.
That's right. Yeah, so. But Jeremiah basically prophesied that Israel would be chastised, you know, because they've been bad here and there, and they have been chastised. And God would... However, God would make a complete end of all the nations where the Jews have been scattered. And that's what it says.
And there are plenty have been scattered here, if you want to say that. You could actually annex Miami, could be part of Israel. But,
And America, at least in my lifetime, until very recently, has always had more Jews than Israel itself.
Yeah, and I think the balance just changed to it's half and half now, I think.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And, of course, going along with Bible prophecy, let's not forget the deception of the heretical religious movement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus said deception would be one of the first ones to recognize.
That we were in the time of the end, yeah.
Yeah, particularly that deception that all roads lead to heaven.
Oh, and replacement theology, that the church replaces
that's a
Israel.
Yeah. And now they even have Palestinian theology. And that's what we talked about last week, where they think Palestinians have replaced Israel.
And there's another one?
The Dominion Now group.
Which and that we're going to get better and better until the Messiah comes.
That's right. The kingdom is here and now, and we have to make it before Jesus comes.
Well, hey, I got one more for you. The Old Testament, the Old Testament is for Jews. The New Testament is for Christians.
Yeah,
I've been hearing that one.
Yeah,
so that's another heresy.
Whole Bible.
Yep.
A whole counsel of God. And let's face it, we are very much like Sodom.
And Gomorrah.
And Egypt.
Hmm.
Egypt is a picture of the world.
Yes.
And there's a scripture also in Revelation that talks about how Israel is like Sodom.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And I've read recently where Tel Aviv is the homosexual capital of the world.
Tel Aviv. Amazing.
Yes.
Who would, you know, you wouldn't
sad.
Think that. It is sad.
Mm-hmm.
But sin is sin. And
well, that's why God is coming to judge.
That's right.
You know. And judgment is soon coming on the whole world. But if you know Christ intimately in your heart, you will be able to escape. Please, people, keep that in your minds.
Wow.
So, anyway.
There is an escape.
There is.
And we can't escape today because we have no break. So we're not even
going to take a break today.
We've got a lot to cover.
We have a lot to cover, and
yeah.
I don't want to fall short on that. But
sure.
We've got the Feast of Purim. It's coming up next month, March 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we looked at the Book of Esther. And this week we will quickly summarize that and then look between the lines, so to speak.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not a coincidence that March 8th lines up with that conference. And you were talking about in
last
Bethlehem?
Week, yeah, Christ at the Checkpoint, which is where they're saying Palestinians replacing Israel.
Okay.
That Israel had no right to the land anymore because they were bad.
And it's just, this is lining up with the same date as Purim.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes, and that often happens, by the way.
Yes.
But there it is, anti-Semitism again. And as we said last week, it's so amazing when you look back in history and see how time and time again, over and over, Satan just keeps trying to thwart the plan of God by trying to annihilate the Jewish race, as the Book of Esther shows us.
Mm-hmm. And we hope you've read the Book of Esther lately. And you can reread it. And when you do, though, look for pictures. Look for look at each character in this story for a type of somebody. We always, you know, a good thing to do is always put Jesus in something, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's everywhere.
And you'll find that you usually have a good
picture.
Usually
the enemy is everywhere, too.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Know?
Yeah.
And today, the leader in Iran, which was, again, once called
Persia,
is the scene for the Book of Esther. And doesn't Ahmadinejad want to destroy all the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
And will, of course, begin by annihilating Israel. Or maybe us.
Maybe us,
I just said.
Yeah, because he's boasting right now. He has missiles that can hit targets in the U.S. He will have them. Yeah,
right.
And hit us in 2 to 3 years. So.
So last week, we saw how Queen Vashti was called up to appear. Now, this is the beginning of the Book of Esther, so if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to that, feel free.
So we're safely out of the news segment there.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Okay. Okay, now.
Yeah, we are.
Now, here's where you get your pencil, paper, and your Bible. Okay.
For sure. But again, the queen of the king, whose name was Vashti, she was called up to appear at her husband's lavish party, who is the king, but she just refuses. Now, the Bible doesn't say why, so we'll just let it go at that, but she decides not to go. And the king got so mad that he says, fine, you're just not going to be queen anymore.
Wow.
So he put out a search for a new one. And it took 2 years, but finally, the beautiful Esther, who is an unknown Jew, by the way, and who was adopted by her older Jewish cousin, Mordecai, she was chosen. She must have been very beautiful.
Yeah, it was a beauty contest, and she was the most beautiful and all the beauties that had been in the contest. So.
Mm-hmm. And the whole story is how the Jews were miraculously saved from annihilation, again. Now, even though on the surface of the book, there really is no mention of the name of God.
Yeah, but if
pretty
you
amazing.
It is, but if you search, you know, like we should, wow, there is a lot of hidden stars within this book. Right?
Yes.
I mean.
And that's what her name means, hidden.
Hidden, right.
So as the story progresses, and after a few years, the king's prime minister, whose name was Haman, so he was second to the king, was a treacherous enemy of Esther's cousin, who was named Mordecai.
Mordecai is an enemy, of course, because he would never bow down to Haman.
Right.
Right? And I guess that was the law to do that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mordecai wouldn't, so...
Mordecai was obeying God's law rather than man's law at that point, I think.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, Haman hated all the Jews because of that,
mm-hmm.
and he plots to exterminate the Jewish race.
Wow. Sheila, didn't you say last week that Haman was a descendant of the Amalekites that God told King Saul of Israel to annihilate many, many years before?
Yes, and we see here the consequences of that disobedience in this story. Therefore, Haman, and now Mordecai, a descendant of Saul as well, are caught reenacting a similar scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier. Another proof that history does repeat itself.
Hmm.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, again, we have Haman second in command under the king in this kingdom.
And like Ahmadinejad is second in command under the Ayatollah in
today.
Iran today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Haman craftily succeeds getting the king's permission to annihilate all the Jews by anyone that'll do it and pay them to do it, and as well as wanting Mordecai hung on the gallows that Haman had built.
Mm.
So Haman thinks, well, when are we going to do this? Well, we'll just cast these lots, and that's where we get the name.
Name Purim.
That's right, because mm-hmm. lots means...
It means Purim. That's the plural of Pur in,
right.
in Hebrew. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the first month of the biblical calendar, which is Nisan,
mm-hmm.
on Nisan 13, he cast the lots to decide when to slaughter legally.
Mm-hmm.
the Jews. So the lots fall on the 13th day of Adar.
Which happens to be our March this year.
Which is in a week or so.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Now, when Mordecai realizes Haman's evil plan, he beseeches Queen Esther, knowing it would be a great risk for her to see the king.
Right. And at this point, still, the king does not know she is Jewish.
That's right. And he's asking her to intercede with the king on behalf of all the Jews. So she tells Mordecai, well, fast for 3 days, the 14th, 15th, and the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Nisan, which happens to be
the time of Passover.
Yes, I think mm-hmm. that was pretty interesting. At which time Esther requests admittance into the king's presence. Whew, so she took a chance,
mm-hmm.
but he must have really loved her because he agrees. And then he promises her anything. So she has a couple of banquets, and at the second banquet, now is the 17th of Nisan, and that's an important day that we'll talk about,
mm-hmm.
she reveals the plot of this wicked Haman along with the truth about herself being Jewish. So the king orders Haman to be hung on the very gallows that Haman had made for Mordecai on Nisan 17.
Hmm. Significant. That's the time of Passover, and...
That's right. And what happened at the end of Passover, or I should say on the Sunday during Passover?
There was, I think, a resurrection occurred.
That's right.
And, and you know, that's Nisan 17. That's Resurrection
when Jesus
Day.
Rose from the dead.
Rose from the dead. Exactly.
Right. So, that gave new life to all who believe.
Mm-hmm.
He defeated Satan. Okay.
What else?
It was a done deal.
Okay.
Now, Satan's still around and he will still tempt.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a done deal. Another thing that happened on Nisan 17. Do you remember, John?
Let's see. That's where the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. I remember that from
you should. And, of course, that gave them new life from bondage of Egypt. And it defeated their enemy, which was Pharaoh and his army.
It represented also Satan and his demons.
That's right. It's another picture. Typology here.
Okay. And this is like the first one I learned that happened on Nisan 17. Hey, by the way, Sheila, where do you get all these dates from?
They were in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
You have to figure it out sometimes because it'll tell you what month and you got to count them and stuff.
Okay.
But it's really
You think
simple.
Maybe that's why the dates are in there?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, how many times have you read the Bible and it says in the fourth month or in the sixth
and you go,
month?
Why did they
and
put
think,
that
yeah,
in?
Yeah, who cares? Let's just keep going.
Well here,
everything's
Noah's,
significant.
Here's something significant. Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat on Nisan 17.
Yes, can you believe it?
And that represents new life, right?
To yeah, the human to the race. Human race.
Yeah.
And also after that wicked king, we had King Hezekiah, the good king, come along, and he actually reinstituted the temple sacrifices to the Jewish people
so he brought,
on Nisan 17,
how
giving
about
them new
that?
Life as well.
And that brought new life?
They felt that they could not really get their sins covered unless they had sacrifices.
So there's a theme to there's
new life.
A theme to Nisan 17, and it is new life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so although the king could not, now this is important to know
yes,
too,
yeah.
He could not reverse his original decree for anyone to kill the Jews.
Right. Haman was taken care of, pretty much. But now we had this legal order for all the people in the king's kingdom to kill the Jews and take all their property.
That's right.
And he couldn't rescind that.
He could not.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the laws. So instead, the king says, oh, I'll just give all the Jews weapons so they can...
And tell them to fight.
That's right. Defend themselves.
Defend yourselves, yeah.
And they were victorious. And what about Haman's 10 sons?
Yeah. They were hung on this day.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Adar 13 now.
Now we're talking about Adar 13.
Right. And so, years later, we will see Esther's stepson's son, who was the king who gave the decree for the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
He had a heart for the Jewish people as well.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing. So since then, on every year, they celebrate this wonderful victory of Purim on Adar 13 and 14 with parties and dressing in Persian costumes. It's a time of great fun, game playing.
Lots of noise making.
Yes.
I don't have any noisemakers with me. I don't have any groggers with me, but yeah.
They do. They make a lot of noise, actually.
Yeah.
And during the reading of Esther, Mordecai and Esther are cheered, but Haman is booed. And a three-cornered cookie filled with fruit is eaten to commemorate Haman's three-cornered Persian hat.
Yeah. So
again, why not read the book of Esther this next week?
Read it in the time that it occurred. And have a Purim party as well, right?
Especially if you have children.
Yes.
This is how they learn. It's a great learning experience.
Parents, you need to teach your children about these stories. It is so pleasing to God.
Oh, it really is. Teach a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart.
Purim's a very fun holiday. It's not considered one of the religious festivals, but it's very much fun, and they dress up and everything. It's great.
Yes, well, it's a great memorialization, and just like Hanukkah.
Yes.
You know, getting rid of the enemy.
Yes, and this is funner than Hanukkah. But
funner.
that means more fun.
More fun, okay.
Well, beside the significant date of Nisan 17, what are some of the pictures now
other pictures?
Yeah, we had a date. Now let's look at some of the pictures, because this story is full of them.
That's right. Well, let me encourage people again to listen to last week's program, because we're kind of going to go over these pretty fast.
Okay.
And again, that's on our webpage, shofarministries.net. But let's quickly show that Mordecai, I believe, is a picture of Jesus.
And that's a kind of an obvious one there, right?
Oh, yeah, because he takes Esther to see the king. And when Jesus meets us in the air, he will take us to God the Father right now, who is king.
Okay, that's right.
And I think it's interesting that Mordecai had adopted Esther. And if Esther's a picture of the bride, Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians do say that we have been adopted in to the, as being a spiritual Jew.
Yeah, so Esther represents the believers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we accept the invitation where Vashti refused, and I believe she is a picture of the unbelievers who don't accept the call.
Oh, yes. She accepted the king's invitation, and Vashti turned him down.
That's right.
Picture of unbelievers.
And then we have a great picture in chapter 2, and that's Haggai. Mm-hmm. And who does that represent, John?
Well, Haggai being the person that's in charge of the beautification of Esther before she gets to be queen, represents the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who prepares us prior to going to see our king. And that's what
right.
The Holy Spirit does for us right now. So we have Haggai as a a picture of the Holy Spirit.
Right, and if you read chapter 2, you will see a lot more pictures. There's a lot of little ones in there about the gifts that she's receiving and that we get when we're saved.
Yes.
So it's a great
We're
great
really
chapter.
Just on the tip of the iceberg of this because
right.
there's so much. You'll find out. Stay with us. You'll find out.
And the thing about it is, people, I just want them to be stirred up to do their own homework. And God will show you pictures that he's never showed anyone else.
That's
it is
right.
absolutely amazing.
Once he's very, I believe God is very, he's very touched when we seek him out in this way.
Well, the highest form of worship is study of God's word.
That's right. And because that, he will reward you with some really, what we call gold nuggets. If you
mm-hmm.
listen to us frequently, you'll know we call those gold nuggets. It's just
right.
give you an understanding through the Holy Spirit. Some scriptures will literally leap off the page, and you'll read them like you've never read them before.
That's right.
That's so cool.
And it's there for anyone who wants them.
That's right.
Now, okay, so who does Haman represent? That's an easy one.
Okay, he's a bad guy, so I'll say the Antichrist, right?
And what about his sons?
Okay, since he's the Antichrist, how about the 10 nations of the Antichrist?
I think that's a good picture.
Okay, they'll rule during the tribulation, right?
Right, but Haman had a wife.
Hmm. Zeresh.
That's
Zeresh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps she represents the woman who rides the beast in Revelation, which is false religion because they go together for a while.
Ah.
You know? Just a thought.
But didn't she ride Haman all the time? It sounded like...
Oh, yeah. She was on his back.
She was on his... Yes. Poor guy.
But the names of the, this is interesting. The names of the 10 sons of Haman is written in the 9th chapter of Esther. And if you look at it, in the original Hebrew, and anyone can do that now. It's online. Mm. It's in the interlinear. Anybody can see this.
Mm.
Just should go to the 9th chapter and look at the names of the sons of Haman.
In Hebrew, of course.
In Hebrew. And you will see that each name not only is all by itself, no other words are next to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. But each name has a negative, prideful meaning. Like busybody, self-pity, self-righteous, they all mean something like that. Look them up. It's
yeah,
really
look these,
amazing.
Look the names of these because names are significant and there are pictures in names.
And these are actual people with awful meanings to their names.
And these words in the text and the parchment, their names stand up.
Right, because...
All by themselves and they're separated for anything from the Aleph Tav on the left and then... The
There's
name.
Such horrible names that God
couldn't put any other words by
it.
Them.
It's really amazing.
That just
there's no place like that anywhere in the rest of Scripture.
So we were going to talk now about the fact that on the surface in this story there is no. We mentioned this last week. There's no mention of the name of God. There's no reference in the Book of Esther to worship or faith. There's no prediction of the Messiah. There's no mention of heaven and hell. And except for fasting, there's really not much religious stuff going on at all. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, when you ever see something like that, you know there's something else going on. And it is God, according to Proverbs 25:2, who conceals hidden matters. But it is our duty to search out the matter or search out Scripture. And the Book of Esther has many hidden, I'll say, stars beneath the servant.
And, you know, stars is which her name implies, of course. That's okay.
They're hidden during the daylight.
You can't see a star during the daylight, but
that's
when
right.
things get bad at night, that's when the stars shine in this story. And, okay, ready for some meat, saints? Now, I know you're going to talk about acrostics and acronyms. Can you explain the difference? And these are things in the text itself, right? Acrostics, acronyms.
Yes. Well, first of all, let's say what an acrostic is.
Okay.
Acrostic is when you take the first letter of each sentence and say, you know, a certain amount of sentences to spell something like a name or a message
mm-hmm.
or just something significant when read in sequence. It's actually very popular in poetry. You know what I mean, like in Psalm 119?
Yes.
Explain that, John.
Well, each of the verses begins with the letter Aleph, or with the Hebrew alphabet,
That's
actually.
Right.
So each verse
starting
in verse 1, and it's like, or each section, the next three verses actually start with the same letter. Have I got this right?
No.
Okay.
And Jesus' number is 8 because mm-hmm. it's never ending. It's eternity. So every 8th verse, you're going to see the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
Oh, now that's how that works. That is really cool.
All the way for 176 verses, which is how many?
Throughout the whole?
That's right.
Psalm 119, the biggest psalm in the Bible.
Right.
That is so cool.
I know. I love it. And most Bibles will show you that. You don't even have to have it in Hebrew.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They show that to you. So that's actually an acrostic.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a message of the amazing depth that God has done in His Word. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
Yes, there is. That's a good word for it, the depth of God's Word. That Paul mm-hmm. prayed that we would know the depth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely it. It works on so many levels.
Better.
It's better.
It's
mm-hmm.
better.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you there are other acrostics in the Hebrew Masoretic text as well, but there's also equal distant lettering that spell out the name of God or Yahweh
mm-hmm.
all throughout his book, not just in Esther, and actually in all of the Bible. Well, that is all his book. But I might add, you have to see it really to believe it. And I have seen it with my own eyes, the equal distant lettering. And I'm not going to get too much into Bible codes, although I will show you one later as we go on.
Yeah, you can look at Grant Jeffrey's books. On
oh, yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
he's great.
And, okay, did you have a, you could tell us about an acronym?
Okay, yes. Now, an acronym is a little different than an acrostic. An acronym is where you take the first letter of consecutive words.
Okay, that's what I was getting at.
In a phrase or a sentence to spell something.
Mm-hmm.
An example, a famous acronym was made in Greek for the acclamation, and here's what it said, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior.
Mm-hmm.
The initials spell ichthys.
In Greek.
Which is Greek for fish.
Oh, okay.
Hence, the frequent use of the fish as a symbol for Jesus Christ from the early days of Christianity to the present time. And it's just interesting that he says that we should be fishers of men. And yet his name in the acronym spells out fish.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, but that's not uncommon, is it?
Mm-mm. No, it happens often.
Scripture's full of things like this.
Let's maybe for the audience try to get them to understand a little more about the acronyms by just some easy terms that we use all the time.
Okay.
If you wanted to recall the names of the Great Lakes of North America, if you know the acronym,
yeah,
it's so much easier.
Well, I do. It's HOMES.
That's right.
H-O-M-E-S.
Mm-hmm. Here in Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior.
Yeah.
Just remember HOMES. Okay, but what about, what would you call the Women's Army Corps?
Pretty brave, I think. Oh, you mean the acronym?
Yes.
The WACS, W-A-C,
okay.
They call them the WACS, right?
Yes. What about radio detection and ranging?
Well, that's an acronym, and we call it RADAR.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization?
Well, that everyone knows that's NATO. NATO.
Okay. So, see, those acronyms are used often.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, God's Bible does it as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible does this to confirm the fact that only God could have written the Bible. For instance, is Tanakh an acronym? And
yeah.
You want to explain what a Tanakh is?
Tanakh is the Hebrew scriptures. It's just everything except the New Testament. And it's an acronym for Torah, Navi'im, which is prophets, and Ketuvim, which is the writings. So that comes out to be Tanakh.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, here's the best one of all. And it's my favorite, and I've been teaching it for years. I'm close to 20, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on the cross, they printed out in Hebrew, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.
And that was Yod He Vav He, which is the name of God.
Yahweh.
And
isn't that amazing?
Now that's something, though, you had to really dig deep for that. You know, that was...
It took me a while, I guess.
Well, you had to translate the Greek backwards into Hebrew to get that.
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
Actually, if you look carefully in the New Testament, you'll see that they wrote the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic.
Oh, they did.
All
okay,
three.
So you didn't even have to do that. So
no.
That was just there waiting for somebody
that's
to
right.
come see that.
That's right.
You said, and that's, of course, because of that.
And it wasn't really on the cross, by the way.
Oh, it wasn't.
That's what I think gives people I mean,
oh, okay.
If you look carefully, it can mean around the cross as well, the word.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be on a cross. And I'm thinking if they did all three languages, it was probably on a big stick next to the cross or something. That's what I'm thinking. But anyway, all three. If you read it carefully, you'll see all three languages.
So at the cross of crucifixion, you have this sign with an acrostic on it with the name of God on
mm-hmm.
it. And Jesus being there. And, of course, all these religious Jews looking at this
mm-hmm.
and knowing what it's saying.
And the thing about it is they tried to get Pilate to change it. Do you remember that?
Yes, that's right.
And Pilate says it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if he would have changed just one thing, like, well, let's just say he said he was king of the Jews.
Right.
This wouldn't have worked.
Nice. You see how God has everything covered? You don't have to worry about anything.
Sure does. He sure does. Okay, well, so Esther might not say the name of God on the surface, but in chapter 1, verse 20, and this is a little harder for people, but it says, first of all, if you take the first letter of the four words, it's right in the middle of the first verse that says, let wives give honor,
mm-hmm.
and you go from left to right, we see Yod-Heh.
Which again spells Yahweh, and that is God's name.
That's right. So in other words, it's like saying under the, you know.
Let all the wives give honor to God.
Yeah.
And, you know, you found this. If you have an interlinear, mm-hmm. This is very easy because there's the Hebrew words right underneath the English.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know a little bit about the language and the letters, it's easy to see them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now in chapter 5, verse 4 in Esther.
Oh, I got to stop you right there.
Oh.
When you come out to Chester Christian Center this coming Friday, and that's March 2nd at 7 p.m., we're doing songs in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And I will stop, and you will see the letters on the screen, you know, on the PowerPoint, you'll see the letters, and I'll explain them to you so you'll learn something. And we've been doing this for years, and
right.
And we'd like to do it for you. We would like you to get in on the secret of the Hebrew letters. And it's not a secret, but...
And
yeah.
I'm thinking, instead of just having this on the overhead, the Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh and things,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to make copies for people so that they'll have something they can take home.
Yes, something you can fold in half, put in your Bible, when mm-hmm. somebody asks you, you can bring it out.
Maybe not all of them, but certainly enough that, you know, you could show someone that's maybe an unbeliever.
Yeah.
I mean...
Great idea.
The main thing about people that... our unbelievers, is that they don't believe the Bible is true.
Mm-hmm.
If you can start from the very beginning and show them that the Bible is true and there's no other way that this Bible could be written, then they can believe what the Bible says, and then you can show them what it says.
And also, there are believers that believe that parts of the Bible are untrue, and they're wavering in their faith. When they get this information, this actually builds their faith mm-hmm. and their trust in God, mm-hmm. that His word can be relied upon.
Absolutely.
So there's a couple of reasons there.
Okay, so in chapter 5, verse 4, again, we're going to see Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, but this time going right to left.
Left, and the text says, let the king and Haman come today.
Right.
And that is, going right to left, you have the Yud, the Hey, the Vav.
I say Yod, you say Yud.
Yud. Yud.
Okay,
it's supposed
yud?
To be. We probably don't pronounce it exactly right. It's supposed to be Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, which spells the name of God.
Yahweh. That's so neat. Okay, by the way,
excuse me.
In case you don't know, and this is an important fact, some languages do go from left to right while other languages go right to left. It's not just Hebrew going right to left. And here's a gold nugget. All the languages in the whole world flow towards Jerusalem.
Hmm.
So the countries east of Jerusalem go from right to left. Like,
that would might be us. Or no, we're west. We're west. Okay.
Yeah, like Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, Sanskrit, Orientals. But nations that are west of Jerusalem go left to right,
okay,
like
so
English.
English, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is cool.
God, it's so good. All right, again, in chapter 5, verse 13 now, we have four consecutive words in the middle of the verse about Haman's gloating, going from left to right, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, which spells Yahweh, and it's where it says, this is no gain to mean.
Means that God's not pleased?
Yes, Yahweh is not
pleased.
Yahweh is
not
no gain to mean.
There's no gain to me. Interesting.
And again in chapter 7, verse 7, when Haman realizes he is doomed.
Okay, we have the Yud, the Hay, and the Vav, the Hay, again going from right to left.
Right, over the verse where it says evil was determined against him. By Yahweh.
By Yahweh. And if
Yahweh's just hidden in there.
Yeah, his name is hidden. That's very, very significant because in the text, in the Hebrew text, God's name is all throughout the book of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
But you felt you had to do more digging, and you found this. Now, of course, this has not been completely hidden for years because because this has been known by the rabbis for ages.
Right. The occult.
Since we lost the church lost its or decided to divorce itself from its Hebrew roots back in the around 100, 200 A.D.
Constantine, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have lost all this. Stuff we should have known.
I know. And even with the Reformation out of the Dark Ages, they still didn't bring back their Hebrew roots.
No.
You know? And in fact, in Revelation, God disciplines the church at Sardis, which is a picture of the Reformation, for definitely not having any spirit.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
Sad to say. So it really wasn't until like the 1700s. When the Church of Philadelphia was birthed, Born Again Church.
Born Again Church. That's us.
They were
actual churches and they were prophetic churches.
They were. Yeah. That's right.
So, now, let's see.
A little different now. Okay.
Yeah.
In that we see, instead of Yahweh, we can see the words, I am.
Oh. Okay.
And it's encoded in the verses of chapter 7, verse 5.
And that's, you'll see an Aleph, a He, a Yud, and a He, which is pronounced Eye.
Okay, which means I am.
I am.
And there you go, the very name of God used in
Exodus
when he announced he'd be delivering his people from Pharaoh, once again, from Haman. And the verse says, he this is the one. And he's I am.
It means I am.
In the text.
So another deliverance, and by the same one God, and
he's in there,
and he's there. And he's the one that says now.
I wanted to talk a little bit if we had time, and we do have a few.
Yeah, that ELS you were talking about.
About the ELS. Now I'm not into heavy Bible codes or anything like that because there is a man Dresden who really perverted it. Okay, and that's just, again, the enemy comes along and something that was good, and he perverts it. So this Dresden guy, instead of just going right to left or left or right, he goes catty corner and up and down and all that kind of stuff. I pretty much stick with the left to right or right to left. Okay, but it does happen that you can find, like, every eighth letter would be the next letter in someone's name. It's there. I mean, you can see it. It's nothing that you have to take the word of anybody for.
Right.
You can do this, but...
And the odds of it occurring that way are astronomical.
No, but I'll tell you what, it's in there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there quite a bit, actually. But in chapter 1, verse 3, we see the name Mashiach, which means Messiah, encoded. And what is the number for Jesus, first of all, John?
8.
It is 8.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every 8 letters in chapter 1, around verse 3, you pick up the next letter in Mashiach, starting with the letter Mem for Messiah, in the word rain in Hebrew, and going forth 8 letters to the next letter, which is a Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
And then 8 more letters will give you the next letter Yud, and 8 more to the last letter Het.
And that spells that Mashiach.
Mashiach.
You have a Mem, a Shin, a Yud, and a Tav.
Yeah. Now, some people say that's coincidence.
Well, not Tav. I'm sorry. That was a Het at the end.
Het. Sorry.
I'm looking at what you printed here. It looks like a Tav. Okay.
I'm sorry. Please, you know, you have to help me, John. That's why
you know
the Hebrew.
I'm the editor here.
Yes.
Yeah.
In chapter 4, verse 17, we see Yeshua now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, counting every eight letter, but from left to right, beginning with the Yod, Sheen, Vav, and Ayin.
Wow. So that's Ayin, Vav, Sheen, Yod, and that spells Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, exactly. That's backwards. Yod, Sheen, Vav, and Ayin. Now that spells Yeshua.
Okay.
Because it occurs, you know, they go reverse too, right? Okay.
Okay. In chapter 4, verse 2, we see El Shaddai spelled out every seventh letter. And it comes in the phrase, between the king's gate clothed with sackcloth in every province. And we see El Shaddai.
Wow. Aleph, Lamed, Shin, Dalet, and Yud.
Yes.
That is really cool.
So. And finally, the last one in Esther is chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, when the king is speaking to Haman, starting with the first hay in Haman and counting every sixth letter. Now, why would that be a six?
Well, six is the number of man.
Man,
yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But it reads, Haman and Satan stinks.
And it is true. Now, you can check this out on our website. You can go to this program and listen to it again later. But it did exactly what it says in Hebrew, Haman ve Satan Reach, which means...
Every sixth letter spells that out.
Spells that out, that Haman and Satan
just happens
stinks.
To be talking about Haman. Yeah. It's truly amazing, people. And I'm just so grateful that God has allowed me to see some of these insights and share them with anyone who will listen.
Mm-hmm. And also, you've done a good job, I think, in directing us towards the right resources, like you got me onto the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance.
Oh, you can't study interlinear, the Bible without one.
interlinear Bible. A lot of these things are available as computer programs, too, so you don't have to have a big...
Well,
bookshelf.
I'm old school, so I go to the books. You know how that is.
I know, but it just makes a difference when you really get that close to God's Word, and then you start seeing the depth,
like you said,
the depth of it.
You know, when it's time to do that, we're sometimes going to church and not even bringing our Bibles.
Yeah, that's true. And
I know people that go to a Bible study and don't bring their Bibles. Anyway,
why
let's
do
not
they
get
call it a
that.
Bible study?
Yeah,
then.
Let's not All get right. into that. Well, this has been a great hour. And we actually got it all in, John.
That's good. We couldn't have taken that break. I just want to give a shout-out. If you stayed with us, Joey and Nikki, we just want to say, hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've learned something, and it's been great having you here. Anyway, if you've never made, and this is for our listeners out there who have never made Jesus the Lord over their lives. And if you
there might be someone.
It might be somebody out there. If you're one of those that just has the head knowledge and not really the heart conviction, it's real simple. Just get on your knees and repent. Repent of those sins that are lingering in your life. Repent. And then that means to turn from those sins. And then recommit or commit your life to Yeshua. Trust in Yeshua. He is the Messiah of all. He will make you clean and able to stand before the Lord. And you'll be on your way to heaven. And you won't be going through the tribulation. But remember,
Amen.
It's always your choice to choose Him. And that's your decision ultimately, where you want to spend eternity, okay?
God doesn't send anyone to hell.
That's right. You decide that yourself. And you remember, your soul doesn't die. It lives eternally. And it has to go somewhere, and there's only two places. So, yeah, I hope we pray that you do that today. And if you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to come out to speak at your church or group? I may even come with her. You could just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office. The number is 440-834-9006.
And also I want to remind people, too, that if you do give your heart to the Lord, get down on your knees. It's a humbling experience. And repent for your individual sins. It's like a form of deliverance from that sin.
It is.
So that's very important to go along with that.
That is. And, of course, remember the thief on the cross who just said, Lord, you know, he was in heaven that day, and he didn't have to go through a lot to get saved.
No, you don't.
You don't. No, it's just trust in Him. And, I got to remind you, too, we'll be back here next Sunday, or not the last two Sundays of next month, the last two Sundays in March. That'd be the 19th and the 26th.
On the Spring Feast we'll be talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Okay, so check the calendar at shofarministries.net if you forget, but that's March 19th and 26th at this time, 6 to 7, okay? Now, any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots Ministries. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on the webpage or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021, and all donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And why not check out the shofarministries.net where all the newsletters and previous programs are archived. And plus there's teaching DVDs and CDs as well to get you started on your road to studying.
And now there's three CDs we have on all rapture scriptures and why I believe in a pre-trib rapture. You can get it on the webpage as well.
Important to have that information today.
Yeah. It's good to give that to someone who doesn't believe in a pre-trib rapture.
That's good. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to do the Aaronic blessing, and we'll, sadly, we have to leave you now. So, ready? Yevrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai pana v'lecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai pana v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Join us again the last two Sundays in March at 6 p.m. And until then, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her
shall prosper. Not maybe, shall prosper. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. See you in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila.